Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi fans, welcome back to another week of Large Almond Latte. I'm your host Nicole, and this week I have a special guest co-host, my love friend Jess is back. Hi Jess.
Hi guys, I can't believe I'm here in person with you, so exciting.
I know, it's so weird seeing people in real life. I don't know how I feel about it. How was your week, Jess?
Really good, really social, booked in like almost every day, bit puff, but glad to be back.
That makes me feel so anxious that you have so much booked. Personally, I have been a working girl and I'm just living the dream working at home.
I love working from home. I'll add in there. Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to go back because I'm really enjoying working with no pants on. I don't know.
Well, both of us went back to work and everyone's like, is it more stressful? I'm like, I'm in tracksuit pants. How could it be more stressful?
Yeah. And it's so much more flexible. You don't have to have your Excel spreadsheet up in front of you to look like you're working. You've got nothing to do. You can just take a nap.
Not that we ever would. Synergy.
Every week we have more and more favors to ask of you. So number one, wherever you're listening to the pod, take a screenshot of yourself listening, share it on the gram and tag Large Almond Latte Media. Secondly, if there is anything at all you want covered on the podcast, please leave it in the review section so we get a review and your feedback. And this week we have a brand new favor to ask of you. If you are a member of our Facebook group, Large Almond Latte, or if you're not, you should join.
Definitely.
Please go into the group, make a comment, leave a post, just engage in some way so we can make sure that our podcast question of the week and any of the really fun stuff we post actually reaches people, because if you don't engage, we can't reach you. I think that's all we need to ask you for this week. And in return for these favors, we'll keep bringing you the good memes on the gram. Today on the podcast, we're talking all about the emotions attached with picking up your social life in this new normal, from the return of FOMO to heightened social anxiety and how to deal with these feelings. Then, Netflix Christmas film season is in its full shitty swing, and I review a movie that I'd like to drop a bomb on, Operation Christmas Drop. This week, Jess wrote an article about re-entering the real world socially that I was like, Jess, don't post this because I didn't relate to it even in the slightest, like maybe 0.3%. And the reason that I didn't relate is because Jess is a major social extrovert and I like my dog more than I like most humans. So we were like, hang on, let's chat about this. Since we are at complete opposite ends of the spectrum on this issue, we thought we would probably be covering the full range of emotions our three listeners would be feeling on this topic. So Jess, why don't you start by telling the fans exactly how you have felt about re-entering the social world.
Okay, I'm sure at least one of them will agree with me, but we'll see.
I've still got the other two then, yeah. So that's
fine. I mean, look, I think obviously we all know that this year has been just a whirlwind, a social front. Like New Year's Eve was like, woohoo, it's my year. And then it was like, cool joke, lockdown, see no one, everything cancelled, not doing anything, just you and your internet connection for company. I mean, we had our dogs, but still. And then for those who don't know, in Melbourne especially, there were all these rules about who you could see and when. Like, we literally went months without social interaction. So now it's back, but with limits. So it can be hard to kind of feel not overwhelmed or confused. and left out.
It's a totally different world. It's the same, but completely different and completely foreign because it's been so long. And I don't think it matters if you're not in Melbourne because the whole world's gone through it. So I feel like no matter where you are in the world, you're going to relate somewhere between me and Jess.
Yeah, well, definitely, because I think what we all was good about lockdown for all of us was like no FOMO or fear of missing out, if you don't know. Like, I was just like, okay, cool. I'm not jealous of that 10th puzzle you completed on your Saturday. Like, I've got my own.
Yuck. Absolutely not. Actually, that's so true, because one thing I was so thankful for is that the whole world was going through lockdown. So there were no Santorini beach posts, yes. No one spending summer in Europe, which would have... It would have been the end of me. Exactly.
We were all at home. We were all united in, like, in a way how shit it was, but also nothing to be jealous of as well. But then restrictions have lifted here. So now I've had to start navigating that world of Instagram stories again. Like, okay, I'm looking at pictures or videos of my mates out without me at restaurants, at bars, at houses. You know, it's like that top five you chose to hang with, but it's like the MySpace top eight all over again. A disclaimer, I'm aware I sound pretty lame and immature. Okay, don't at me. But sometimes when I see this stuff, I just get this such a twinge of jealousy and major FOMO.
Okay, so the reason I'm like, yeah, totally, is because I just don't know too many people that have eight friends to start with.
Well, I mean, look, I work hard at some of these friendships and I know that people can only see 5-10 people, whatever it is. And I don't like feeling this way. I sound like a privileged wanker, but I want to be like mature people. I mean, you sound like one of them, Nick. You know, I love staying in. I don't use social media. I don't like group events or don't care who people hang with. Like, adults. But I'm a social butterfly. I always want to be at everything. I want to be with everyone. And every time I look, I'm like, why wasn't I there? Like, what did I do wrong? Why aren't I in the top five? Like, why don't you like me?
So basically you're saying that you have more than five friends and they're hanging out without you and you have got major FOMO.
You're telling me you wouldn't. If your five friends were at brunch and you saw a picture, you're like, oh, good.
Yeah, but
no.
No, okay, I would. Like, I want the invite. I don't necessarily want to attend, but agreed. I want to feel valued. But if my five friends were out at brunch without me and I didn't get an invite, I don't know, Jess, I feel like I would be really questioning what is wrong with me. I would be spiraling with anxiety. What have I done? I would be rereading all of my message threads with all of them. Have I done anything to cause offense? What have I said? Because I often speak my mind and say things that are unwillingly quite offensive. But yeah, I would be questioning myself first and foremost.
Well, look, and I suppose it makes sense. And I think I was saying, you know, some people, it's like core four, we do everything together. And if three of them are out without you, you're like, what happened? But mine reaches out to like the 50 people I might know and like be acquaintances with. I'm like, why aren't I in all of their top five?
That's so needy. Oh my God. Are you an only child? So I feel like, okay, so Jess's problem is really clear. She's a heavy FOMOer, a needy, needy bitch.
Please help.
And I am the complete opposite. So I didn't hate lockdown. I didn't love it. I really just wanted to stay home on my own terms. But it is not healthy doing that. So Jess, I was like tossing up where to tell you this. But yesterday I went out with your friends.
How dare you?
And it wasn't a Charlie Sheen affair. Don't worry. Like, I was home by 8:30. But it was huge for me because it was my first time out without my baby, my first time out outside lockdown, but also my first time out basically since I've been pregnant. So all day yesterday, I was a complete mess. I was so anxious. Like, I couldn't leave the house, but I had so many things to do. I had to get a new Mikey because my travel card had expired. I had to re-pierce my ears. Like, you know, when you have to re-pierce back bit. Mm. Yep. I had to do that again. And I was just schwitzing. Like, I don't know why. I was like, what is wrong? Like, you're just going out. But I guess it was so far outside my comfort zone, like every single aspect of what I was doing. I hadn't done anything socially for so long. I haven't left the steel ring for so long. But then I got there and I had a few wines and it was totally fine. Different thinking about my child every 5 minutes, but I needed it. And I don't, like, you're about to share your top tips to deal with your extreme FOMO, because we also both have degrees in psychology. If you didn't know, no, we definitely don't. And this is unsolicited advice, 100%. But I don't really have any tips to deal with this except think rationally, and you have to fucking do it, because being locked inside by choice or by force is good for no one. And that is how the neighborhood starts rumors about you murdering people or being a witch. So yeah, my tip is, if you're a socially anxious person like me, just be rational and go outside. Also, I feel like we should probably say that as much as we're complaining about these situations, it's very first world of us. We're just really privileged and lucky that we actually have friends to complain about, because we've spoken about it before, but 2/3 of millennials are lonely. And a lot of us find it really hard to make adult friends at all. And one of my friends has this colleague and they were still working from their office because it's medical. And when lockdown lifted, her colleague sat at her desk and cried because she didn't have friends to go out with after lockdown.
No, so that's actually awful.
And it's not okay. But I know, like, it is so hard to make friends as an adult. And we have an episode on it if you're feeling like this, what we're talking about is so far removed from you. I think it's called How to Make Adult Friends.
Yeah, and there's an article at latte.com as well.
Yeah, and there's this really great group called Only Friends, and basically you just organize hangouts in your area. Also, like, feel free to DM me or Jess, because we love some bants. And as you can see, Jess is really craving some social interaction. Loves it. So yeah, 100%. If this just isn't resonating with you at all, please go listen to that episode. Visit the Only Friends website. Now, Jess, without further ado, you needy, needy bitch, it's your time to shine. Please give us your best tips on how to deal with friendship FOMO.
Okay, number one from the psychology of Jessica School is you also can't fit everyone in your top 5, top 10, whatever it is. I mean, I was thinking, okay, just like you couldn't fit everyone you know in your MySpace top 8, you can't fit everyone you know at your house or booking a 5 either, or we're looking at a full, like, Corey Worthington situation every night. Like, I was being so stupid. I saw, like, good friends of mine at dinner. I should address, like, it's not everyone I know. It's friends that you thought that you would go to dinner with.
Yeah, like,
stuff,
you
right?
thought you'd be in that top five group. At that dinner.
Like, I don't need to be, like, the one for my whole company. Yeah. But yeah. And, you know, and you could just be like, just don't go on Instagram. And I did. And I saw friends out and I was like, why didn't they invite me? Yes, I'm insecure. But the stupidest thing was, I was out at a dinner with other people at the time. Like, I can hear myself. I get it. But I was just like, okay, they could say the same about you. You didn't invite them. You're not the main character in every single social group.
But like, you feel like you are. I just feel like that's probably something you need to address. You are not the main character.
Why not?
You're not fucking Cinderella
just
like, here.
It just, but you have to think, it just isn't possible for us all to always be everywhere and at every social event. It's hardly likely that they were like, let's invite these 5, but not her. You know, it's not like that. And anytime you get FOMO, big or large, and obviously mine's big, it's like, why do you actually care? But I suppose my second step is like that, realizing it's not personal. Like, it can be very hard to take it, you know, not to take it personally. When
totally,
you see
they're your
friends
and they haven't invited you to a social situation. I'm interested to hear how this is not personal.
Well, kind of, because for me, I just get really insecure. I'm like, oh, am I boring? Do they not like me? Are they talking about how glad they are that I'm not there? But like, yeah, not everything's about you. And also, you don't own your mates, because I've had that on the flip side. You know, like, I've gone out with people and someone said to me, why don't you call me or have me there? And it wasn't that you don't like them. You just wanted a different kind of catch up.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, just like, I can see my friends whenever I want and have unique friendships, so can they. Like, you probably have, Nick, like, you'll meet up with a mother's group or baby's group. You know, some people want to meet just with school friends, or, you know, meet up with friends who like the footy. Maybe you just don't fit in that particular mold.
I feel like that is the best example, because your mind runs away, like, what have I done? What's me? But the football example is such a good one. Like, you might see their picture on Instagram. I mean, it's not football season, like, cricket, whatever.
I don't know.
You might see them... You might see them all on Instagram together, but what you can't see is that they're actually watching sport, which you would ruin that day for them.
Right? Openly. And I'd just be like, okay, that doesn't really affect me. I mean, like, I did have a bit of a whinge to my partner. He was really off me, a lad. He's an adult. But he was like, Jess, you have to understand, like, people actually probably don't even know you feel that way because, I don't mean to sound obnoxious, and I will add here, I've definitely had periods where I haven't had friends and that sort of thing as well, but it does appear, you know, I suppose socially that I've got lots of friends, and maybe that makes people think, oh, she's busy, she's happy, she's always out, and maybe I'm the one making people feel FOMO without realizing as well, you know?
Yeah, could be a facade, but I will say, like, your friendship group is insane.
My school, though, well, we went to the same high school, yeah, but we have to meet. It's weird. It's like incestuous.
It's so weird. Like, yeah. Jess's friendship group of girls, there's like 35 of them. It's so rare.
It's rare, but I think it is, and we're lucky. But at the same time, that stuff doesn't just happen. You work at friendships like you do at relationships or jobs. They don't just fall into your lap. It's constant contact and organization and caring and, like, giving a shit. So I think – and constant planning. Like, I plan a lot of things, and that's what Will said as well. He's like, Jess, just because you've planned 100 events out of lockdown, it doesn't mean everyone else has. And I had a friend say to me when I was talking to her about this, Jess – you know, and she was nice about it. She's like, maybe you also haven't given people a chance to invite you to something because you're planning, like, 30 things. So I had to get on board with that.
Your husband is such an adult and so mature and rational. I kind of feel like you should be paying him $180 an hour and be having this conversation with him regularly to deal with your single child need for attention.
My next tip is, obviously we all know it, but that social media isn't real, and stop giving it all our attention. Like, obviously we know this, but sometimes we just need a reminder. Like, you see people doing their boomerang cheers and all that shit, but it's so fake. And I think I was reading this article for Time magazine, and there was a professor called Paul Dolan, and he just said, your happiness is determined by how you allocate your attention. And if you're not as happy as you could be, then you must be misallocating your attention. So he basically was like, stop fucking looking at it. Look at better shit.
I'm glad you explained that, because I literally have no idea what that meant.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's about, you know, what's going to make you happy.
Oh, like, I get it. Don't look at social media because it's not making you happy. Go focus on something that will make you happy, like going out, but you can't go out because you haven't been invited.
Well, exactly. But there's other things, you know, sometimes I'm talking about looking at people I know on social media, and that makes me FOMO. But I know for lots of people, they get FOMO of influencers. So for me personally, I don't follow a single one. I don't get it. I don't get why you're looking at hot and rich, like, strangers with no qualifications who do nothing but, like, profit on making you feel like shit.
So harsh.
I don't get it at all.
I don't know that you can have that judgment without following a single one. I know that influencers is such a dirty word, but it also covers people like activists and, like, body positive influencers.
I think if they've got qualifications or something that's different, I might look at people like, I love looking, is it Meow Mix? And she does this dietitian stuff. But
yeah.
I just mean your standard, like, D-grade celeb who's like, you know, look at my boobs,
your
buy this stuff.
Contestant,
yeah,
selling,
I guess that's what I'm talking
your
about.
Your teeth whiteners.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or wags. Like, I know there's people who look and be like, oh, she has such a good house, or she has such a good body, or this and that. Like, if it makes you feel like shit, just unfollow them. It doesn't matter. The next is, I would say, focus on the positive, right? Like they said, what you are going to and invited to. So as I was saying, during my very long-winded whinge to my husband, was most unsympathetic as a grown-up.
Yes.
Okay, kind of made me sound like a child bride there. I am an adult as well. but he did.
Your husband sounds like a 55-year-old man.
He's 3 years older than
me. He's just like a really mature, smart person, and we are not in comparison.
But that said, he's like the flip side. Like, he never wants to do anything.
Can I hang out with Will? I don't even
want to.
Even want to hang out with someone and do nothing. No. I want to do nothing by myself with my dog.
Exactly. Look, but he did remind me to focus on what I do have. Like you said, a great A-plus dog. I do have a loving partner and family. And I know that that in itself, even just one of those things, is so fucking lucky. You know, at least the dog always wants to hang with me. We'll see our friends. And, you know, practicing things like mindfulness, which wasn't really big for me, but I'm trying to get into, or even what you're grateful for, like writing down 3 great things that happened, like, I don't know, that granola was baller. Like, things that, you know, are actually really good makes you feel better.
I spoke about the writing down stuff the other day in my happiness episode, where journaling 15 minutes a day can make you feel so much better because it's cathartic. And I know you said before we switched the record button on that just writing this was really cathartic for you. So, like, I find mindfulness, I've always done it. I'm an OG white person of mindfulness. Not
I was like the
OG.
First follower.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I find with it is that I only do it when I need to.
Yeah.
I don't maintain it when I'm fine, which is stupid because that's what makes you need to do it because you're not staying balanced. But I think through lockdown, there's definitely something to be said about mindfulness. And you're right, like focusing on what you do have.
You're right. And I think, like Nick was saying, it was cathartic sort of writing and talking about this. And it started to make me think about, oh, who do I keep in touch with? Who does make me feel good? And I hope I make them feel good. Like, and we were talking about sometimes in those big groups, you can be in a big group and still feel really lonely. And I was thinking sometimes I should be focusing more on some of these important friendships and nurturing those, which makes you feel more whole, you know, overall.
You can be at a wedding and you can be with all of your friends. And sometimes you feel even lonelier
yeah.
with all those people. Whereas if it's more of the one-on-ones, like that's when you're getting the value out of your friendships where you can have the real conversations. So I think you should stop focusing on the FOMO of the bigger events and, you know, just invite one of your friends around or sit down and have a conversation with your enlightened husband. They seem to be fruitful.
Look, that's right. And moving on from that, that's probably goes towards one of my last tips, which is focus on your JOMO.
What?
Look, it's FOMO's, I'm going to call it FOMO's prettier younger sister, the joy of missing out. Nick, you would be all over this.
I'm frothing this already.
Yes, yes. Look, and even someone as FOMO as me feels it sometimes, even though my aim is to be like you, who feels it like 100% of the time.
I feel it more than 100% of the time. There is nothing better. But go on, explain what it is.
Look, like, you know, to be happy. So look, me personally, I'm not a huge drinker and I'm starting to become like a little bit more animal aware. Don't put me up for RSPCA like a billboard. But the point is, like, it means I don't get FOMO about the races anymore. Or like when okay. work colleagues go out on a Friday night drinks, pre-2020 obviously, I race home to be on the couch with my dog and order a pasta. That's my thing on a Friday. Like, I also know I'm a bloody drainer at a gig. Don't take me to a gig. I like to sit down. I like to sleep. I like Fox FM and
totally
Fifi.
Understand.
Yes.
Okay, don't say that out loud again. But I went to a gig. I don't know. Oh, I must have driven and that's why I wasn't drinking.
You drove to a gig.
And okay, I don't like being sober at gigs though.
Right. Yep.
I just wanted to sit down and eat a pasta. And I think I was doing...
Oh, it was like an outdoor like rave thing, not like a... Yeah, no,
it was inside. But I also was like doing F45, mid-cult obsession, yep. and I couldn't eat properly. So I couldn't even have like a nice bucket of hot chips beforehand. And if I was sober and I just wanted to be on my couch.
Nah. And so sometimes I'll see things and I'm like, you know what? You guys enjoy, I would drain that. Or I'm like, you know what? I just wouldn't be happy there. And it's good getting older thinking, even if I see some people out at drinks, I'm like, I'm so happy cuddling my dog.
I think it's definitely a getting older thing because yeah. like Friday night drinks, I loved Friday night drinks even when I was younger because you didn't have to dress up. You would go straight from work. You would be home by 9 p.m. But now...
What's this elite club where you didn't have to dress up Friday night drinks? We had to wear like heels on Fitzroy Street. It was awful. I'm so glad that part of my life is over.
Go straight from work. It's called working in the city, working in advertising, and you just wear really cool clothes anyway.
Yeah, I worked at a uni. I never had that. Continue.
You just roll on down to like Section 8 or wherever it is that you're going. But when you said that you just want to get home with your dog and order a pasta, like major erection. What I love doing with my life. I could smash a bowl of pasta on my couch. Can you leave?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I want to race home and do exactly that.
But you need to work on JOMO. I need to work on having less JOMO probably.
Because I don't think you do because it's contentness. Unless you're letting people down. You know what I mean? Like you're consistently getting invited or you're not putting enough effort into your friendships.
I feel like I'm the queen of committing to things and then bailing.
Oh, like, I don't like a bailer. You can't bail now. I don't know if this is the same in other states or countries, but here you have to pretty much book any restaurant, even if it's around the corner in your shit suburb. So you can't bail. You don't want to let the restaurant down or your friends down. Sometimes you have to pay a deposit. How's that working for you? This is a bit of a segue, but...
I know. Well, it's more like park meetings. Just generally, I'm a massive overcommitter. So I've always tried to live by this rule. And obviously I have miserably failed where I only commit to one event each weekend.
Okay.
So then I don't overcommit and have to bail. But I always fail and get overexcited and commit. Or I'll like make an event. I'll be like, hey, let's do drinks this afternoon. Then this afternoon hits and all I want to do is nap. And I'm like, oh, my baby.
No, look, I think a lot of people, I get that before an event. Like I planned a dinner last night out with friends and I'd been excited for it all week. But the few hours beforehand, I was like, no, I just want to be with Maple, my dog. I'm like, I just want to stay home. But then it's getting there. It's sort of like the gym, isn't it? Like you force yourself into it and then it's fine. But can I ask you, Nick, because, you know, as some of you know, Nikki and I went to school together and I always saw you as this outgoing social person. I mean, you've naturally kind of extroverted if you're, you know, doing media and stuff. Did you change after having a baby or have you always been like that?
I've always been an introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter. No, I've always been an introvert and extrovert. Like I can talk to you and fine, but if I go out with friends or something, I am so anxious. Like I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I have to so it sounds so bad. I have to have a few drinks to loosen up. Like I just get really socially anxious. I always have, but it's this weird contrast because I'm not shy.
Yeah, but I guess that's what it is. Yeah, you come across as pretty, you know, outgoing and organized and, you know, fun. And
yeah, like,
not that, you know.
I know, yeah, but I know what you mean. It would seem like I've got it all going on. And I'm so social and everyone would have FOMO of me. Jokes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's just because I'm not shy and I'm confident. But inside, I'm spitzing like a pedo in a kinder.
Look, sometimes it is like that, though, because it's like when you say about, say, famous comedians or actors are obviously really frail on the inside.
Oh, my God, that's like the biggest compliment. Did you just compare me?
I mean, look, I was thinking of Jim Carrey, so if that's a compliment, go for it.
Totally.
Yeah. But I don't, because sometimes you feel that too, because sometimes, I mean, I know I come across very extroverted, but with people, if I'm meeting you for the first time, I feel like I'm boring as bad shit. Like, I think my husband's friends thought of me as like the boring introvert girl because they were all outgoing. They'd been friends for ages, and I was the girl in the corner, like, hi. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah, I think when you meet new people and also like chemistry is such a big thing. Like sometimes you meet people and you just click. It's just on from day one. But sometimes you'll meet a group of friends and you're like, these are not my brand. Like these are not my people. And
I don't want to see them. JOMO. Yeah.
Totally. Or like if they are more extroverted and confident than you, that's weird. Like it's like for you and me both, finding people that are more outgoing and over the top, like that's intimidating.
It's so funny you say that because when I started this new workplace, everyone was really like the extrovert. And I'm like, no, I'm that one. Like, that's my character. I'm like, well, I don't know what role to play here. Like everyone's, I'm the quiet one in comparison. I don't know how to do this role.
Isn't it so weird when you're put in that role? Yeah. But like, sometimes I like to think about it as a role as well. Mm. Like, because we both have a drama background. And sometimes I like to be like, well, what role am I going to play with these people today? Mm. And then it never really lasts because I'm so fucking blunt. I just come out eventually. But it's a fun game to play. That was like a strong digression. But I feel like this whole episode is about social interactions. So I think it worked.
She brought it back well.
So I guess like in summation, if there is any of that rambling, I feel like, yeah, I'm a super introvert. Jess is a super extrovert. And you probably just need to find a middle ground. Like you can't stay inside. You can't be everywhere all the time. It's exhausting even for someone who likes to be out all the time. So just follow Jess's handy tips. And like, I really want to reiterate again, if that whole episode didn't resonate and it wasn't just because we're shit, please visit OnlyFriends. Like, please reach out to us because we want everyone to be friends. That sounded lame, but we want, you know, we don't want
be
anyone.
Be friends with us at Lunch on Monday. We love you as friends.
We don't want anyone to be feeling lonely when you don't have to be. Jess, I think we have spent more than enough time being social together recording this episode. I'd really like to be alone now to do the movie review, so please leave.
That's fine. I've got to go be social.
Of course you do. In Operation Christmas Drop, our leading lady, Erica, is played by Kat Graham, whom you may recall from such critically acclaimed masterpieces as The Vampire Diaries or Honey, number 2. Erica is a super ambitious, very career-driven and totally obnoxious congresswoman's aide in DC. She is clearly having a lot of success in her career because she's doing things like the Christmas shopping for her boss. Obviously, this woman has not hit 30 yet, because otherwise she would have definitely given up on all her career hopes and dreams. Erica's congresswoman boss needs to shut down a few army bases to save some of those taxpayer dollar bills, because optics, there's one base in the Pacific that is a total gimme, because instead of training and like being ready to go into battle, they just spend their time dropping off presents to surrounding islands. America is a military power and they should be dropping bombs, not love. So her boss gives absolutely zero fucks that it's Christmas and sends Erica to this island in Guam to find out more reasons to legitimately shut them down. This island is stunning. Like, think the island that Kimmy K rented out for her 40th birthday, but with an airbase. Apparently, the position of this airbase in the middle of the Pacific is actually super strategic, which I'm sure is really important, just not to the plot of this movie. Here we meet Pilot Andrew, who you will only know as Kato in The Hunger Games. He is as average as his name suggests. He's just a really nice guy. When we meet him, he is Christmas caroling over Skype with his family. And as someone that detests Christmas carols, this introduction was an immediate direction. Kato is tasked with showing Erica around the island because he's such a people person. Obviously, their opposing personalities totally clash and they have some witty banter while they get to know each other, like hate fight, except it's not witty at all. It's cringe and painful. And I suggest if you do watch this movie, you put it on mute for the first 30 minutes. Kato clears things up with Erica that the Christmas drop operation actually costs no taxpayer dollars and it's entirely volunteer based. Plus, when they are doing these drops, obviously they're dropping something which is good training for dropping bombs. Problem solved, that definitely could have been a phone call. Case is closed. Can this movie be closed now too? No, because her boss is like, I need to close three bases. I don't care how. Write a fake report. Uh-oh. But then Kato works his charm and shows Erica the island. And she's like, oh, it's so pretty. And then she meets the locals and she's like, oh, they're so nice. Then Andrew and Erica sing Christmas carols with the locals and Andrew plays a ukulele. And I cannot, like, I have never watched a movie where as it progresses, I am more and more turned off by the lead character. His ick factor is off the chart. So after that, Erica's like, oh my God, I simply cannot shut down this army base. It does such good work. It helps all these really nice people and the island is so pretty. As you can probably gather by that impersonation, Erica is feeling very vulnerable by this point, like a regular person and not a stone-cold DC bitch. So her and Andrew have this D&M and here we go. You know what that means in a rom-com. It is on. Oh, side note, she's also highly invested in this Operation Christmas drop situation. And just when I thought I could not be any more turned off by Kato, they go to this party on the island one Saturday night and I get a glimpse of his footwear. He is wearing thongs. And not Havaianas. No. Those thongs, like, with thick material that Americans wear. And vomit. Uh-oh, there's a typhoon heading to the islands, and it looks like they're not going to be able to fly their planes out to deliver their Christmas drop this year. Oh, no. But what they can do is keep packing and sorting the donations to the very last minute and hope for a Christmas miracle. But oh no, it gets even worse. Her congresswoman boss just showed up. And honestly, I think the only person wasting taxpayer dollars here is the congresswoman, who's flying herself and her staff halfway around the world to these tropical islands to investigate things that could have been a phone call. Oh, Kato is so stressed. He's dealing with it by drinking cranberry and soda. Of course, I am so turned off at this point. But what's that? It's a Christmas miracle. The typhoon's been downgraded. They can fly and complete the Christmas drop after all. Even better, they convince the congresswoman with some cringe speech making that they're doing really good work. And after all, the cornerstone of her campaign was to make the world a better place. And these people right here on this island, they're the ones that are actually making the world a better place. It's beautiful. Wow, mission accomplished. The Congresswoman had a total ball, and she even offers Erica a promotion at the end of it. What a successful mission. And her and Kato kiss in the end, which is actually mildly surprising because although it's the formula of a rom-com, they have zero chemistry throughout the movie whatsoever. The best part of this movie was that I was knee-deep in rosé and I actually ate the best chocolate brownie of my life while I was watching it. Yeah, so literally nothing about the movie. 2 out of 10. Thanks for listening to Large Almond Latte. If you loved the podcast, which we assume you do if you got this far, a 5-star rating and review would really mean a lot to us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Large Almond Latte Media for more lols and recommendations, also because we put a lot of work into it. To join the weekly podcast conversation, join us in the Facebook group at Large Almond Latte. Don't worry, we're not spammy at all. And for even more low-involvement entertainment, head to largealmondlatte.com. There you'll find the show notes, but also heaps of articles to get your peepers around. See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.